Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good evening, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet, Sunday night, November 11th. And the Miami Dolphins today had a rough loss to the Green Bay Packers, 31-12. I mean, I don't know what to say after this one. The offense was absolutely awful. Couldn't score a touchdown to save their lives. And that's pretty much the story of the game. This offense just couldn't get out of its own way and score a touchdown. They moved the ball. They actually got a bunch of first downs. But when they got close into the red zone, it's just like the offense just stopped and fell apart. The Miami Dolphins were already battered and bruised with injuries, not having Ted Larson, not having Laremy Tunsil, not having Juwan James. And in this game, you know, three or four more guys go down. Jakeem Grant, he goes down to an injury, doesn't look good. Bobby McCain leaves the game with a concussion. No word on when he might be back. Andre Branch leaves the game. Devontae Parker leaves the game with a shoulder injury. The Miami Dolphins right now have so many injuries that they need at least 1 week off. Heck, they probably could use off 2 weeks right now just to get some of these guys back healthy. And I don't know. I don't know what is in store here these final six games. Because from the sounds of it, Ryan Tannehill, not sure if he'll be able to return this year. And if he doesn't, the Miami Dolphins are going to be, you know, have to sit through and suffer through six more games like this with an offense with pretty much no offensive line and a backup quarterback who's just not very good. And I know some people are clamoring for David Fells. Well, he's not very good either. So it is what it is. And even if the Miami Dolphins do get Ryan Tannehill back to a point where he can play, throwing him out there with only a couple healthy wide receivers behind a makeshift offensive line. And let's not forget, the last eight quarters Ryan Tannehill played, he wasn't very good. So I don't know what the answer is on this offense. To me, the 2018 season, you know, for all intents and purposes, is over. This team's not going to make a playoff run here. They're at 5 wins now. How they got there is by the grace of God. They loaded up with wins in September when they were healthy. Since then, I mean, I don't even know. They are lucky to be at 5 wins. And looking at the remaining schedule with the Vikings, with New England, yeah, you got 2 games with the Bills. I think the Colts are better. I think they're a very good team. The Colts are sneaky good. I think the Miami Dolphins are just in for a nightmarish time traveling to Indianapolis for that game. I don't see this team making a run to playoffs, even though they're at 5 wins right now. But, you know, it was a tough loss today. Both lot of blame to go around on both sides of the ball. But you have to keep in mind, they have so many injuries right now. I don't know if it's realistic to think the Miami Dolphins can go into a game and really beat anybody. Really beat anybody just because they're playing with their B squad in a lot of spots. In a lot of spots they're playing with their B squad and their number twos. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. So, right now, I'll take a quick break, and after the break, I'll be joined by Tom Ernesty, and we will start up with the post-game wrap-up show.
The DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network brings you only the best podcasts covering the Miami Dolphins. With fins up, fans down, welcome to Perfectville, the same old Dolphins show, the Landon and Jeff show, as well as DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast. You will get in-depth coverage from diehard passionate Miami Dolphins fans each and every week. Be sure to listen to all these great podcasts and check them out at DolphinsTalk.com.
Welcome to the post-game wrap-up show. I am your host, Tom Earnesty. I have Mike Oliva on the other line. Mike, before we get into the game and the absolute obliteration of the Miami Dolphins in this game, the Dolphins are sitting at 5-5. And at the end of the day, that's still good for seventh in the conference. The Bengals got obliterated today by the New Orleans Saints. Going into a bye week, this team is not healthy. Looking at the schedule, there are some winnable games. Are the Dolphins in any way, shape, or form going to hang in this playoff picture through at least week 15 or 16?
You know, at 5-5, the answer to this question 9 times out of 10 would be yes. But looking at this team specifically, with all the injuries, and I think most of the guys right now, guys like James, he'll be back, Tunsil, he'll be back, Grant, not looking good, I would say that, Parker, who the hell knows, and who else am I missing here? So those guys, you know, most of those guys are going to be back. The issue is they don't have a quarterback, period, end of story. And, you know, you and me even more so than you, because I do a show every day here, back in the summer, back in August, as the preseason was winding down, every day on the podcast, I pounded the table, said the Miami Dolphins need to do more with the backup quarterback position. Fowles isn't good enough. Osweiler, he's not good enough. At the time, we weren't sure which one would be the number two, if Miami might cut one. They held on to both all year. And we pounded the table every day. And a lot of you listeners out there sending hate tweets and hate email. Stop talking about it. We don't care about the backup quarterback. It doesn't matter. If something happens anyways to Ryan, the season's over, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, that's a bad attitude to have in this league. The front office, those guys make millions. Tannenbaum, Greer, and the head coach make millions of dollars. Their one lot in life is to have put together a competitive roster, and they have to worry about the backup quarterback. You as a fan can say, season's over, something happens to the starter. Those guys can't, and this is the mess we're in. Brock, I do not put this loss entirely on Osweiler. I know many fans today are out for blood with him. They want his head on a platter. I get it. Trust me, I get it. He wasn't good. But once again, the two things we have to remember, the guy behind him, Fowles, is a turnover machine. And the guy he's replacing, the last 8 quarters he played in against the Patriots and Bengals, he was miserable too. And it's not like Ryan Tannehill is, you know, once again, a great quarterback. I get it. Osweiler stinks. Nobody's saying otherwise. But there's no other option right now. Tannehill, it looks like, probably won't play a game the rest of the year. That's the way it looks right now on November 11th. It doesn't sound good. It sounds like he's a ways away still. And Fowles, if you want to toss him out there, go for it. It might look worse. So this right now, no. So the answer to your question is no. This team's not going to play because they don't have a quarterback. You don't have a quarterback in this league, you can't win. They won 5 games by the grace of God. They really did. 3 with their starter, Ryan Tannehill, and they've won 2 games with Osweiler, one of which the offense didn't put up a touchdown last week against the Jets, and the other one, the Chicago Bears handed us a win with just dumb mistakes they made. So I do not see this team winning, you know, 4 more games, 5 more games. I don't see this team winning more than 1 more game, honestly, because they don't have a quarterback, and they can't win a quarterback. And that's the first part of the problem. Second part, they get all these injuries, and it's tough to overcome that many injuries. Miami, you know, they hung around today. They hung around. I mean, yes, they lost 31-12, but they were in this game, you know, early in the third quarter. For the most part, they were still in this game. They hung around, but you can't overcome this many injuries, and you can't overcome a bad quarterback. And it is what it is. And I don't see them winning more than 1 more game this year, maybe 2, that's it. I just don't see it. So I don't see this team being a competitive team the rest of the year. We'll see.
I will go back even further because I personally was pounding the table for a quarterback in the draft.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I mean, a majority were like, well, we got Ryan back. We got backup quarterbacks already. There's no need to waste a pick on a quarterback if they don't like anybody. I don't care anymore. Draft quarterbacks. I don't care if you do it every year, every other year, every 3 years. Draft quarterbacks. This is the position the Miami Dolphins have put themselves in for the last near 20 years. They do not draft quarterbacks, and when they draft quarterbacks, they draft poor quarterbacks. Anyone remember Pat White, John Beck?
Chad Henne.
I mean, the list goes on of the misses, and they don't, you know, with the, at least with Brandon Doughty, he was not projected to be a
late round flyer. Yeah.
He was a late round flyer, but the Dolphins have to find quarterbacks that are going to be productive NFL players. And if you don't get it right one year and you think you didn't get it right, you draft another one. You draft another one until you get it right. The Dolphins have drafted one quarterback in the first round. And God knows how many years.
Since 1983.
Since Dan Marino.
Since 1983.
That quarterback has been Ryan Tannehill in 2012.
There is no
quarterback since then. I mean, one quarterback in the last 36 years in the first round. You need to change the mentality. Dan Marino's not walking through the door tomorrow, lacing up the cleats and going onto the field. The quarterback is the most vital position of a football team. And if you do not have one that can perform, it does a lot of things. It puts a lot, you know, I put a lot on Adam Gase this year for his play calling and his inability to get things turned around. At the end of the day, if you look at this roster, Adam Gase still found 5 wins with this team before the bye week.
Exactly.
That's nothing short of a miracle. And as much as I'm thinking, you know, as much as I'm saying Adam Gase is a problem, he's not the bigger issue here. The biggest issue I have with this team is with the front office people. Adam Gase had the final 53-man roster. But what did Tannenbaum do, or Greer for that matter, to help establish depth on this team? The offensive line, starting offensive line today for the Miami Dolphins, I don't think could start for an XFL team next week. They are not good. But I will say this, 6 sacks today on the Miami Dolphins, 2 of them were on the offensive line. The other 4 were on Brock Osweiler and his inability to not understand that there is supposed to be an internal clock in your head to throw a football. And he does not know how to do that. And God forbid he stands in the pocket to make a throw. He goes to his right. Every time he senses pressure, he goes to his right. Guess what opposing teams have done against him in the past 2 weeks? They load the right side of the offensive line because when he does that, he walks into a sack. He is not good. So I put this on Tannenbaum. I put this on Greer. And I will put this on Gase. You did not address the quarterback position. You have a quarterback that was not healthy coming back as your starter. And your best option was Brock Osweiler or David Fales.
Yep.
That was what you decided to go with. You make your bed. Now you got to sleep in it. If I'm Stephen Ross and this team comes back tonight, the meeting tomorrow morning is with Adam Gase and those other 2 guys. And I want Stephen Ross to chew them out. I want Stephen Ross to say, Micah Fitzpatrick is a great football player, but I told you we need a quarterback.
Yep, absolutely.
And they didn't listen.
Nope, they didn't listen. And I remember back around draft time, the week before the draft, Sirius XM, NFL Radio, I was on as a guest. I was the Miami Dolphins representative in their fan mock draft, as I have been the past 3 years, I think, or 4. I lost track. And I was on. It got to Miami's pick. They asked me, who do you take? At the time, Josh Rosen was on the board, so I took Rosen. They go, why do you take Rosen? I go, because we don't know about a quarterback. We got Tannehill since 2012. Now he's coming off a knee injury. We have nobody behind him. We need a quarterback in round 1 right here. One happened to fall. And then they asked, well, would you trade up? Because it was a mock draft before the draft. Would you slide up to take him or one of the other quarterbacks? I go, absolutely, because they have nothing at quarterback. They had one. They put all their eggs in the Ryan Tannehill basket. And I was on with Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller. They agreed 100%. Yep, that's the right logic, Mike. You're on I see it your way. Everyone around the league all knew Miami didn't have the right answer quarterback. I mean, you're playing with fire with Tannehill. He's an up-and-down guy who was coming off a major injury. And they put all their eggs in one basket, and it blew up in their face. And, again, from all the reports, it doesn't sound like he's close to coming back. And if he does come back, by the time he does come back, two things you have to worry about. One, their season may be over by that point, because if they lose two or three more before he's ready to play, it's like, why are you bringing him back? And number two, who's going to be in front of him with his offensive line? Because if it's the crew that was out there today, you cannot, in good conscience, put Ryan Tannehill behind that type of offensive line with all the injuries he's had lately. He will get destroyed. It's not fair to him. So I don't think we're going to see him again this year. We're going to be stuck watching Brock Osweiler for the next six games. I watched Adam Gase in the post-game press conference. He was asked if he thought about switching quarterbacks. He said no. And we all know with Adam Gase, he is stubborn as a day is long. Last year, he did not want to move on from Jay Cutler. He only had to when Jay Cutler got hurt, and he had to come out of the game. So if you're thinking Osweiler's terrible, he has to put in fails at some point. Don't hold your breath, folks, because it probably ain't going to come. He's going to ride or die here with Brock Osweiler, unless Tannehill can come back at some point. So if you're sitting here hoping for fails, it's probably not going to happen. Should he do it? I don't know, maybe, but he ain't. So that's just the reality of it. And I've had some other people go, what should Miami have done this stuff? Who should they have gotten? Who? You know what? It's not my job to say who. I'm just one guy with a podcast, okay? People like Tannenbaum and Greer and even the head coach, because I don't know how much input he had on the offseason moves when it comes to the quarterback, they get paid millions of dollars to figure this stuff out. And if they sat down from January through, let's just say, the draft, all of free agency in the draft, and they said, you know what? We're okay with this. Then they're idiots and they're fools and they all deserve to be fired. Gase ain't getting fired. The fact he's got five wins this year, I've been hard on him so far this year, but I got to cut him some slack because the amount of injuries they have right now is impossible for any head coach to overcome. So if he says something really, really stupid in the media at a press conference, I'll get on him. But you know what? Nobody can win with this roster right now. They are just decimated with injuries, so I can't even put that on him. But I do put on him and the rest of the front office that you can't ignore the quarterback position like the Miami Dolphins have forever. You ran through it, Tom, all the names, all the years. They can't. And we are the laughing stock of the league because of this. We're the only – it's the most important position on the team. And we either, A, have some inflated view of Ryan Tannehill, or B, think we don't need anybody behind him. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense. There's guys out there, quarterbacks, switch teams left and right. I mean, not guys who are great, but more competent than the Brock Osweilers of the world. So, I don't know. It is what it is. We're stuck with this for the rest of the year. I don't see them winning many more games. But let's get into this game and break it down some, I guess.
Yeah. So, let's start off with the opening drive. For the life of me, it's, you know, I turn around, I see the TV, I'm like, all right, game's on. And I see Frank Gore bust off a 38-yard run. I'm like, okay, it looks like there's an opportunity to run the football today. They get inside the 20-yard line. Hey, this drive is going fairly well. And wouldn't you know what happens? Bad snap. Brock Osweiler can't handle a snap. And then his lack of effort to fall on the football gave the Packers possession and immediately drive down the field, score a touchdown. What were your thoughts on the opening drive prior to the fumble?
It was looking good. I mean, with that makeshift offensive line with a 35-year-old running back and Brock Osweiler, I didn't expect much in this game. That's why I'm not worked up about the loss, because even when they released the schedule back in April, it's like the Miami Dolphins, even if they're healthy, the odds of them heading up to Lambeau and beating Rodgers was like slim and none in my book. So I didn't expect much in this game. But, you know, the first drive, they're running the ball. Frank Gore looks great. Osweiler, he did just enough. I mean, but then you get the bad snap over his head. Osweiler, he can't move to save his life. He's really immobile. And, you know, end of the drive. Even if they came out of that drive with a field goal, it's something. I mean, jump up 3-0, it's something. But they get no points, and then the Packers just take the ball, march down the field like it's nothing. Aaron Jones looks like Emmitt Smith, and they go up 7-0 real quick.
You know, as I'm watching the Packers move the ball, it seemed like they parted the Red Sea when Aaron Jones was running the ball. Everybody was pushed to one side of the line, and Aaron Jones just took off in the other direction with really nobody there. Everybody was out of position. And for the life of me, if it doesn't happen on the bye week, again, it's questionable. It's not going to happen, but why the hell is Matt Burke still there? His guys are in no position whatsoever. Is there even coaching happening on this defense when it comes to the ground game? You had 3 weeks, the beginning of the year, that this run defense was okay. It was okay. It was a lot better than it was.
Good enough.
And it was good enough, and they have found a way to just completely melt. And it just, everything just stems.
And the linebackers look lost out there. The linebackers look lost, and Raekwon looks really lost. I hate to say it. I mean, look, I know he had a major knee injury last year, but even coming into the NFL, speed wasn't what he was known for. But now it's some of this is mental mistakes as well. He just looks like he is totally overwhelmed. Jerome Baker, you know, same there, but a little less so, I would even say. And plus, he's got speed to make up some ground. So you can live with his rookie mistakes almost. But Raekwon looks lost out there. He really does. And this Miami Dolphins defense here, especially in the first half, on the Packers with ease. I mean, what did Matt Burke do all week? You know, in the first half, the Packers just were with ease moving up and down the field. And if he won't be fired in season, because it makes no sense to. After the year, I hope he's gone. There will be three names on the open market who Adam Gase should run to. One is Todd Bowles from the Jets. He's done after today. He might be fired by the time many of you are listening to this. Bring him in next year. He's great as a defensive coordinator, lousy as a head coach. Rex Ryan, not a huge fan of Rex, but, you know, if you just give him one side of the ball to just hyper focus on, I would take it. I don't know if his personality would mix with head coach Adam Gase because they're both arrogant pricks, and I don't know if you can have two arrogant with that size of an ego they each have in the same building together. That might not be the perfect match. The third name is, I think at the end of the day, Greg Williams will be let go by the Browns because they're going to bring in a big-name head coach who's going to want to put his own stamp on the team. So those are the three names I would be looking at if I'm the Miami Dolphins at the end of this year. Because Matt Burke, again, a lot of injuries and stuff, I know. But at the end of the day, I mean, the first half of this game on defense was just embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. I personally, if I'm looking for a defensive coordinator, I'm looking for the defensive coordinator right now. His name is Don Brown, and he is the defensive coordinator at Michigan under Jim Harbaugh. I will bring him in. I think, you know, with the ties there with Stephen Ross, if you're not firing Adam Gase and you can't get Jim Harbaugh, go get Don Brown to be a defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, because the Michigan defense, I tell you what, the guy knows how to coach. I'm not saying, oh, he's going to make a big, easy transition to the NFL. May not be easy, but he is in an NFL defensive system in Michigan. And that defense is playing lights out, and I think he would definitely be an upgrade over anybody right now.
You want to know my fear? Here's my fear.
Love to hear it.
And I could see this 100% happening. Vance Joseph will probably be let go by the Broncos at the end of the year, and I could see Adam Gase saying, Vance Joseph, have your old job back. And not that Vance Joseph was bad the 1 year he was here. All the players did love him. I get that. But I think the Miami Dolphins just need a new voice in the room on that side of the ball. I don't want to go from Vance Joseph to Matt Burke, who are very tight and pretty much ran the same type of system, same style, to go back to Vance Joseph. They got to blow it up on that side of the ball and just go brand new. So Vance Joseph would be my fear. Not that he's a bad coach or bad coordinator. I just want something totally new. I want to brush a fresh air on that side of the ball. So Vance Joseph would be my fear.
Yeah, it's a fear in a sense of bringing somebody back to where the defense is still ranked in the bottom
It's the same system, too. Nothing would change.
It's in the same system.
It's the same system.
Nothing's
going to change.
The wide – listen, folks. The wide nine does not work here with the players you have. It does not work. The wide nine is like John Gruden running his offense in Oakland. It doesn't work. They have to go back to some sort of traditional defense, forget the wide nine crap, and go back to basics. The wide nine does not work. It hasn't worked here since Van Joseph was here. This defense stinks. And the only way you correct it is by changing your system, and that means a new voice in the locker room. 100% agree, Mike. They have to find somebody that can change what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
so
I
anyway,
wouldn't be opposed. Well, hold on. One last thing real quick. I wouldn't be opposed also to going to a 3-4 because I think Wake's all done after this year. You can put Pinson Taylor at the nose because he has the size to do that. I wouldn't be opposed to that either if they do want to switch now to a 3-4. When they had Sue, that made no sense just because how much money they paid Sue, and you can't move him out of position. But now with Sue gone, I wouldn't be opposed to them sliding over to a 3-4 if they bring in a coach who wanted that, because now they have someone to play the nose, and it would make a little more sense, actually.
Well, the amazing thing is that for some reason the Rams have found a way to make it work with Sue in a 3-4.
That's true, too. Well, yeah, but they're not a great defense either right now.
No, but after Dolphins 3-and-out on the punt, Tremont Williams returned at 19 yards, was hit by two Miami Dolphins, A.J. Derby being the man who forced the fumble, and Leonte Carew recovered it. And the Dolphins drove 7 plays, 31 yards to kick a field goal. The score was 7-3. Drive stalled out inside the 20. Dolphins had it 2nd and 8 at the Green Bay 11. Second and 8 at the Green Bay 11. Incomplete on 3rd and 8. Brock Osweiler takes a sack for 8 yards. And then the field goal goes to 37 yards. The ensuing Packers drive 3 plays, 71 yards.
Ah, 3 plays!
Made it look like nothing. It was the drive started at the 29-yard line of Green Bay. And on the first play, 67 yards for Aaron Jones up the gut against the Dolphins defense. And it didn't take much longer as Aaron Jones found the end zone untouched to make it 14-3. The Dolphins take the ball, 10 plays, 78-yard drive, a very nice drive that stalled out at the Green Bay 7. First down, incomplete pass. Second down, 1-yard run. Third down, incomplete, which should have been intercepted, and had to settle for a 25-yard Jason Sanders field goal. The game seemed to shift a little bit in my eyes when the Packers went for it on fourth down on their next drive after the field goal. On 4th and 2, Aaron Rodgers was sacked by Cameron Wake and Robert Quinn. Finally, the two get together in the backfield and force turnover. But unfortunately, getting the ball at the Packers' 45-yard line, they could only drive it down to the 29 and kick a field goal. And that wrapped up the half. At the end of the first half, it was 14-9. Feel good about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because they're hanging around. Second quarter, once Rashad Jones got into the game, I mean, it wasn't great on defense, but he sort of calmed things down for a few drives at least. You know what I mean? And he played a little bit better.
Then how about on the Packers' opening possession of the second half? The Dolphins block a punt and recover at the 28-yard line of Green Bay. And with Brock Osweiler as your quarterback, you settle for a 40-yard field goal when you start at the opponent 28-yard line. That just doesn't work.
Nope.
You know, when you're sitting at when you're sitting at this game at 14-9, a touchdown on that drive makes it minimum 15-14 if you don't get a 2-point conversion, or 16-4, you know, between 15 and 17 points. You put the ball in the end zone there, the whole complexion of the game changes. The Packers can't run their normal offense. Now they got to play from behind. It makes a big difference. So after the field goal, the Packers 5 plays, 60 yards, because the drive started at the 40-yard line on a Jason Sanders out-of-bounds kick, which infuriated Dan Rizzi. And if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Darren Rizzi on the sideline basically looked at him and says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Why did you do it?" sort of conversation with Jason Sanders. But the score ended up being 21-12. And 2 plays into the Dolphins' next drive, Brock Osweiler with the, of course, ill-timed interception deep in his own territory, which the Packers immediately took it three plays, 12 yards to a touchdown, 28-12. And by that time, it was done. The final score, 31-12. I personally, on the kickoff show, I said the final score was going to be 31-13. So, hey, kudos to me. I got it right.
Yeah.
But it was a ugly affair. Let's go over the team stats real quick, Mike. The Dolphins had 19 first downs in this game. Can you believe that? 19 first downs.
They moved the ball. They just couldn't do anything with it when they got, you know. So, I mean, they moved the ball at times. It wasn't that they couldn't move the ball. They moved the ball. The Packers, you know, they had in this game with only three wins. It showed why. I mean, they're not a great team. But they just couldn't punch it in at the end of the day. And here's what it is.
Yep. The Dolphins ran 66 plays for a whopping total of 294 yards at 4.5 yards per play. Now, this is where it gets frustrating because the whole complexion of the game is a little different when the score goes for, 21-12. You know, you make life easy for the Packers. Now you're down two scores. The Dolphins really gave up on the run again. The total ground game for the Dolphins today ended up being 131 on 23 attempts, averaging 5.7 yards a carry. And for God's sakes, Frank Gore had 90 yards rushing, I believe, in the first half. Or yep. Quote, damn near close to it in the first half. And he did not really see the ball much in the second half, even with the score as close as it was. He just didn't see the football enough. And that is infuriating as a fan. As you know, if you look at it from the analysis side of it, I understand that, you know, you're down two scores to the Packers, but the one thing that worked and worked consistently was your ground game. And this was the big difference in the game right here. The Dolphins had made the red zone three occasions. They came away 0-for-3 for touchdowns, and the Packers were 4-for-4. Mike, what do you got to say about it?
Well, you got one quarterback going to the Hall of Fame, and one's lucky to have a job in the league. I mean, that's it right there. That's it right there. One quarterback's a first ballot Hall of Famer. The other one, nobody else in the league wanted, including the Cleveland Browns last year, who are 0-16. They let him go. So that's the difference here in this game. Time of possession, Miami actually won. Turnovers, Miami had two, Green Bay had one. So that's, I mean, pretty even. It's just, at the end of the day, the Miami Dolphins moved the ball, just couldn't score touchdowns and put it in the end zone. Miami was 3-for-4 on fourth down. Okay, that's actually not bad on fourth down. 19 first
better
downs,
than
like you
third
said.
Down conversion.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, 19 first downs, moved the ball, just didn't score any points. This is going to be the story of the next six games. And even you look at that schedule, you can write off the New England game and the Vikings game right now. Those games, they got no chance to win it. I get it. You got two games against the Bills, one against the Colts, and one against the Jaguars. The Colts are halfway decent. The Bills stink, and Jacksonville right now stinks. The issue is with those three games, can the Miami Dolphins score anything? Because even against a team like the Bills, who today went up to New York and put a whooping on the Jets, this is the same team that Miami couldn't score on at home against the Jets. The Bills with Matt Barkley. Let that sink in. Matt Barkley went up and down the field on the Jets today, a team Miami couldn't move the ball on last week at home. So if you're looking at those games against the Bills thinking, well, we're going to sweep them or maybe we even split, I don't see it, folks. I mean, they got to move that. They have to score touchdowns. Right now they're not scoring touchdowns. And as long as you got Fails, Osweiler, you pick which one you want to play, that ain't changing. That's really not changing because this team, with all the injuries, is going to struggle to get one touchdown most weeks. And like we've seen the last 2 weeks, we'll probably get none. And, you know, they're going to have a lot of trouble putting up points the rest of the way. I know they're 5-5. You don't want to sort of throw up the white flag, but I don't see how they're going to score any points with this. And this is going to get a lot uglier here, I think, in these final six games. I hate to be the guy who's the negative Nancy, but I got to call it like I see it. I don't see them scoring any points. I mean, how are they going to score points? They can't. They can't score any points. I just don't see it.
I don't either at this point. You know, if you have such good production moving the ball up and down the field today and you still can't find a way to find the end zone, A, that's on the quarterback. The quarterback is the guy on the field that's got to get the job done. And it's not getting done. It hasn't been getting done. The only game where the offense was clicking was when Albert Wilson was taking two-yard screen passes all the way for touchdowns against the Chicago Bears. Since then, the Lions, nothing offensively. The Texans, nothing offensively. The Jets, absolutely nothing offensively. And today, again, nothing offensively. This is reminding me of the 2004 Miami Dolphins, the way that the offense played. I'm sorry, the 05 Miami Dolphins. This is, you know, this is the same type of offense that we watched back then where they just couldn't do anything. Or hell, even the 07 team that went 1-15, God, they at least put up effort and put touchdowns on the board in many of those games. They haven't scored, they're not scoring touchdowns, and they can't capitalize on their opening drives, which to me is mind-boggling. They're now 19 consecutive games without an opening drive touchdown. And today was their was a prime example of why. You move down the field, you're playing very well to start the game on the road, you have your foot on the on their throat at the beginning of this football game, and you turn it over inside the red zone. You cannot do this. You can't do it. I don't care if it's a center exchange. I don't care if it was on Brock Osweiler. The whole team effort on your opening drive, that is what you draw up all week. This is what we're going to start with. This is what we're going to do. They executed it, and then it just takes one bonehead play for the entire thing to fall apart. And the Dolphins, at that point, the game was pretty much in the bag for the Packers, I think, because the Dolphins just can't score touchdowns. And until that gets settled, until that gets solved, this team is going to stay in the rut. They're well underway to probably a 7-9, 8-8 season, most likely.
Well, I think you're being too kind.
I think six and ten at best. If you said if they win two games for the rest of the year, that still leads to seven wins. That's true. Puts them between probably pick number 9 and pick number 14 in the draft. And now they have to figure out how the hell they're going to get a quarterback, because let's face it, folks. And I've said it for weeks. I don't care. I'm not a doctor. I'm not anything. Ryan Tannehill's injury is it's a season-ending injury, folks. It's season-ending, in my opinion. I've had the injury. Many people have had this injury. They'll tell you the same thing. Once you have an injury like this in that capsule where your labrum tears in your shoulder, when you throw, it moves out of socket and your shoulder pops every time, and you can't lift it past a certain point, guess what? You're not playing quarterback this season, and you might be out a little while longer because that arm strength does take some time to get back. So that's why I wrote the article this week. And in my article, I said Brock Osweiler is good enough to finish the season as the Dolphins' starting quarterback because there was really no major drop-off. But here's the thing. In a game like today, if Ryan Tannehill was healthy and he was able to play in this game, I would probably say they may probably have still lost the game, but they would have most likely put some touchdowns on the board.
It would have been more competitive. Yes.
Absolutely.
They would have scored touchdowns. It would have been a closer game into the fourth quarter. They still would have lost because Tannehill can't play the other side of the ball, obviously, where they have many issues there. One thing I want to say about the head coach, Adam Gase, and like I said, I'm not going to get on too much because he has a backup quarterback behind a backup offensive line with a ton of injuries at wide receiver. I can't get on too much. What I will say is this. Early this year, Tennessee, Jets, Raiders, Bears, the Miami Dolphins were creative on offense, trick plays. They were running plays, and they were being creative to get chunk yardage plays, big plays to sort of jumpstart this offense. They haven't tried one. Well, they tried one against Houston with the Amendola pass. But that's it. For the most part, they've gone very vanilla of late, and I don't understand why. This is a time you need a few trick plays. You need something to sort of spark this offense to get a big play to put them in a position where maybe they can score a touchdown. Do something. Try. It can't get any worse than this, folks. Try something. I don't understand why Adam Gase does that sometimes when everything goes to hell. It's like, well, we're just going to be vanilla and just not risk anything. No, this is the time you can risk it because you got nothing to lose here. You really have nothing to lose. But that's the one thing with him I don't get. Again, I can't be too hard on him. There's not any offensive coordinator or any head coach who could, you know, put together a winning offensive game plan with this group out there. You and me were just talking before we started to record. If I hear one person say next man up, I swear to God, I'm going to punch him in the face. Next man up. I hate that saying overall, but when you got this many injuries, there is no next man up. And sometimes with certain spots, there's no next man up because some guys are just too important overall. And right now, when you got this many injuries, I mean, the Miami Dolphins have like no healthy wide receivers left, it seems like. I think they have Amendola and Leonte Carew. And when you come down to even having to mention Leonte Carew as the like one of the two healthy wide receivers you got, you know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble. They lost Wilson. They're probably going to lose Grant. Parker, he got hurt, which means he'll probably be out a month. And Kenny Stills is still not 100%. We're down to Amendola, who's like the most fragile of the group for somehow he has found a way to stay healthy this year. And Leonte Carew right now. Those are two healthy wide receivers.
You know, I will say this when it comes to, you know, being able to, you know, where's the trick plays and things like that. I don't think you could run trick plays with a depleted wide receiver core.
Try one a game.
As well as this offense.
Try one.
You might be able to try one, and they did today. They did the fake punt, which actually worked very well. Leonte Carew actually made a play. Actually made a couple plays in this game today. So
you recovered a couple
kudos
fumbles,
to Leonte Carew. He recovered a fumble. He ran the fake punt, and then he caught a 20-yard pass on third down. So, you know, he overall had a good showing. But it looks like they're going to need a lot more out of him because right now I just don't see a healthy Miami Dolphins team unless you're going to plan on playing Mike Gesicki as your wide receiver and Nick O'Leary as your tight end with A.J. Derby. I mean, this is pretty much where it's come. I mean, granted, there's a bye week. I don't see good things coming from the Jakeem Grant injury. Kenny Stills should be healthier. Hopefully, Devontae Parker pulls his hangnail out so he can play maybe in 3 weeks.
Let's talk about McCain. He should be back, McCain. He does have a concussion. Thankfully, he has one extra week. Hopefully, he's ready to go. With the extra week, I think he would be. So that helps there. Andre Branch, no idea about him. He was holding his shoulder. That didn't look good either. I mean, it's a litany of injuries right now, an absolute litany of injuries. And Adam Gase in his post-game press conference said he's happy to have a bye week. It's the first one they've had in 2 years, and he's 100% right. This is the first one they've had in 2 years. So, and they need it. They probably needed it like 3 weeks ago, really, but the fact that they have one now, you know, they need it. So, I mean, it's just tough with this many injuries. But again, the quarterback situation, less to do about injuries, more to do about poor planning. And this goes back to the offseason, goes back to January, goes back to free agency, goes back to the draft. Poor planning by the front office put them in this position. And, I mean, how you go into a year, especially after – okay, even if they had a thought, let's say they had the thought, we're okay with Fales and Osweiler as the backups. We think that'll work. After you watch those first three preseason games, take the last one out, that means nothing. After you watch the first three preseason games, for you to continue to have that thought, and after the final cuts where all these teams are just cutting 35 or 40 guys, and some teams are making trades to sort of jockey to get guys that they want, to not make a move then shows that they're clueless. Honestly, it does. Because you could have the thought, you know, maybe we're okay with Osweiler and Fales, even through training camp. But after the preseason, what you saw there, and they were both brutal during the preseason. Absolutely brutal. Fales, every game he played and turned it over once or twice. I mean, he could not turn the ball over. He was a turnover machine. That's probably why the head coach is, like, reluctant to even look at him now, because he knows the guy just turned it over all the training camp and all the preseason. He was a turnover machine. So that's probably why head coach Adam Gase is reluctant to go to him. It ain't going to matter. But for them not to make a move then in that window last week of August, first week of September, prior to week one, is just mind-boggling to say the least. And this is what you get, folks. This is what you get.
This is what you get. And we can sit here, and many of us can sit here and say, you know, we warned you. We warned you that this is not the route to take.
This is not the
way
to do it.
And they took it, and this is the way. This is where it is. This is where we are. The team was 3-0 to begin the year. They are now 2-5 since. You are what your record says you are, and Miami is 5-5. And what does Orlando Alzagari play almost every week? Stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle.
As he trots down the hallway at his radio station.
WQAM.
WQAM. It is what it is. The Dolphins are what they are. They're 500 football team. They're a very unhealthy 500 football team. This is a much needed break, but I will plead to the NFL next year to have a bye week in between week 6 and 8, because the body, the team right now is just tired and they look like they're gassed and they need a break. These guys have played. I don't care that you had an off season to relax and whatever else, but football wise, this is their first bye week in over 2 years. In just about 2 years, and this is a much-needed bye week for the team to get healthier and to try to figure something out, because there's still 6 games to play in the season, and they got to find a way to get some wins on the board. Let's talk about game ball, Mike. Who do you give your game ball to today, not named the Green Bay Packers?
I'll give it to, even though you had the one mistake, I'm going to give it to Jason Sanders, because heading into this year with the rookie kicker, a lot of questions there. He has proven to be almost automatic as a field goal kicker right now. Big leg. He makes almost every field goal. Yeah, he kicked the ball out of bounds. It didn't matter at the end of the day, Phil. It really didn't matter. But as a field goal kicker, he is really turning himself into a very good one, a very good one. And he is almost automatic on every kick right now. So I will go with Jason Sanders.
Jason Sanders right now for the season coming into this game was 11 for 12 on field goal attempts.
He is now
15 for 16.
That's
This is, you know, this is the kind of thing that, you know, during the summer we looked at, and we honestly talked about the kicking contest between Greg Joseph and Jason Sanders. They did draft Jason Sanders in the 7th round this year, so he definitely had the edge. Adam Gase did not give much of a chance in those first probably 4 or 5 games for Jason Sanders to kick the football. But guess what? The kid's got a leg. He's been very accurate. Just like Matt Hawk had no competition this offseason, I believe Jason Sanders is going to be the kicker for the Dolphins going forward. There's no need to bring another kicker in.
And he's cheap.
But for some reason.
And he's cheap for the next 3 years. He's going to be really cheap and not cost him much on the salary cap, which is a huge break when you have to pay a kicker.
So that is a good pick with Jason Sanders minus his one bonehead play on a kickoff. But, hey, you know, you can't fault the guy. He tried something. It didn't work. Packers were going to score anyway. So let's just move on from that conversation. If I'm going to give any game ball out today, I'm going to give it to Danny Amendola. I think with his ability to still get open, he had 7 catches on 10 targets, 72 yards. He had a 39-yard scamper, which personally I thought that was Kenny Stills for a second who caught the ball. But once I saw everybody catching up to him, I'm like, oh, never mind, it's Amendola. He had a great game. He still finds a way to get the job done. He had a great toe-tap catch early in the game. I believe it was on the first drive that fell apart. But, you know, Amendola, for his part and what he's done, has done a great job for the Miami Dolphins, and he had a very good game today, albeit in a losing effort. And
there's a couple things with him. One, he's been a rock all year for the most part. He has been solid. He really hasn't gotten hurt. That was a big question about him heading into this year. The other thing is he's got some off-the-field drama going on in his personal life that he's not letting affect him on the field. He's split up with the ex-girlfriend for like the 8th time now, and he's with a new one who is a reporter down there in South Florida who is absolutely smoking beautiful. So with the off the field, and I guess there's a war of words between him and the ex, and they got the new girl in the ex. So he's got some off-the-field drama going on that's very public, but he's not letting it affect his play one bit. And God bless Amendola. This guy, he gets the prettiest girls. I will say that.
Honorable mention today is Frank Gore. 13 carries, 90 yards, almost 7 yards a carry. I wish he was able to get the ball a little bit more than he did in the second half. I think he would have had even a bigger game. But he continues to do the work, and he continues to get the job done. For a one-year guy coming down to his hometown to potentially finish his career, it doesn't look like he's ready to be done yet, folks.
Doesn't.
He still looks like he can do it, and he's still doing it at a very high level this year. I mean, he's already halfway to a 1,000-yard season with his effort today. He's got 538 yards on the ground this season, and there's still 6 games to play. So a couple big games. I mean, he's going to still get close to 1,000 total yards of offense regardless.
Bring him back next year.
The guy just knows how to get it done.
If he wants to play next year, I'd have no problem with him returning, which at the start of the year, I thought no way that would be the case. Just because of his age alone, he'd have to start to slow down. Not showing any signs of slowing down. I would have no problem at all. If he wants to play, which I don't know if he does, if he wants to play next year, I'd have no problem with having him back. I think next year we'll probably see more of Kalen, Balazs, Drake. Drake's in an interesting situation just because it seems like the head coach is not a big fan. So it's an interesting situation with Drake because it just seems like the head coach doesn't like to use him that much, which I find head-scratching.
Yep, I do too. And, you know, I talked about it on the Thursday show that, you know, you have a great weapon with Kenyon Drake. He provides you that out-of-the-backfield running back. Kalen Balazs is a bruiser, 230-plus pounds and 6'2", 6'3". He is a big guy. And I think the Dolphins can look at Balazs next year and say, all right, him and Drake are going to be lightning and lightning. Both are very good out of the backfield. I think that both of them need to really show between the tackles. And it's going to be an interesting offseason, to say the least. But we're still far away from that offseason. We still got 6 weeks before we really can start talking about it. but we're going to wrap up the show. Mike, we have a bye week.
Yes.
Which is fantastic for many aspects of this team, but also for ourselves. I know that you had some things going on. I hope everything's okay. What about shows this week? What can people expect for DolphinsTalk.com dailies?
Yeah, we're going to get back to a full slate of shows. My the things I had going on there in real life are sort of resolved, so that's good. And we should have a full slate of shows. I'm working on some guests. I had a couple guests lined up for last week, but I had to reschedule. So we'll probably have Antoine on again this week for his weekly spot. So we'll have Antoine on, and I'm working on one or two other people. And I am working on someone special for Thanksgiving who I think is going to be an amazing guest who many of you are going to want to hear from. So we'll probably get a little bit guest heavy here before the next game against the Colts, I would say, as there's not going to be much to talk about as the Miami Dolphins are going to give these guys a well-deserved rest because the guys who are playing, they're trying their best. It's tough to be tough on some. I mean, some of the players you can be rough on, like Raekwon McMillan, just because I think he's making mental mistakes and not playing very well. But guys like Sam Young, Zach, I mean, they're trying their best. Even Osweiler, I'm more mad at the front office than I am mad at Osweiler, just because I don't think he should be out there in this situation right now. They deserve a rest. His team looks mentally exhausted, and they're clearly physically beat up. I mean, that is clear as day. So they deserve a break. But for shows, yeah, we're going to be back doing regular shows, full slate of shows, probably start on Tuesday with them. I'll probably take off on Monday because this show drops so late. It's almost like the Monday show. So we'll be back on Tuesday with a full slate this week of podcasts.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate everyone for listening. I wish we had some better things to talk about tonight after the Dolphins lose to the Green Bay Packers 31-12. Be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com for all opinions and articles and everything related to the Miami Dolphins and the one-stop shop for everything you want to find for your favorite NFL team. I am Tom Earnesty. I appreciate everybody listening. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.